Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable for this Tuesday morning. It is the 8th of December. Very nice to have you with us. We thank you for joining us on this Tuesday morning. We welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org. Let us get to introducing our panel, and then we'll dive right into our discussion for today. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Joseph, and thank you for fixing up my Wi-Fi here.
Hopefully I did do that. We'll see how it goes. Rosemary Armeo is with us. I stumbled during the introduction earlier this morning that Rosemary was here because she originally was not to be with us and today is, and we couldn't be more thrilled, so thank you very much. And Mike Spain joins us as well, the associate editor of the Times Union.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for joining us. And, of course, Rosemary is a journalism professor at the University at Albany and an investigative reporter. And, well, we may be at the end of civilization as we know it. Yesterday I got a note, you know, as we all did, we got a little advisory from both New York Times and CNN that Donald Trump had made comments that basically called for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States. And I think probably for many of us, the initial reaction was this is Trump being Trump. And then as we watch more of it, I don't know if any of you saw the press conference it was a rally in South Carolina.
Right.
And I have to say, I was telling Rosemary this earlier, that I watched the entire thing and I was shaken by it. Yeah. It was as if, you know, you'd sort of walked in, and I don't think this is an unfair comparison, where you walk into a Klan rally. It was really disturbing. And so here we are, where Donald Trump has called for this complete shutdown until our country's representatives can figure out what is going on. The statement was released by his campaign. Trump read the statement during the rally last night and referred to himself in the third person, which I also felt was a little strange. And he says that a sizable segment of the Muslim population has great hatred toward Americans. Without looking at the various polling data, it is obvious to anybody that the hatred is beyond comprehension. Trump is quoted as saying in the statement, "Where this hatred comes from and why, we will have to determine. Until we are able to determine and understand this problem and the dangerous threat it poses, our country cannot be the victims of horrendous attacks by people that believe only in jihad and have no sense of reason or respect for human life." 1.5 billion Muslims in the world, a quarter of the world's population.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we've moved over. He has moved over the line into fascism, full-blown fascism. He has said that he's not really sure because he wasn't there, but he might well have supported internment of the Japanese during World War II.
He refused
horrendous
to answer that question this morning Morning Joe.
Yeah, because they asked him, but he's on the record as saying that he might well have done it, even though Ronald Reagan has since apologized for that horrendous piece of policy. The irony of it is that he is building up more hatred in the Muslim world. This is the reason that we have resistance and the call to jihad, because they're fighting against that sort of prejudice that he's making okay to voice.
Yeah.
It's horrendous.
If ISIS could have planned it any better, I mean, this is exactly what they want. They want divisiveness, and they want this kind of hateful rhetoric to come from people who are perceived as our quote-unquote political leaders in the U.S., saying these kinds of outrageous, inflammatory comments about Islam and just fueling the sense that America hates Islam and wants to stamp out Islam, when many, many people serving in our armed forces, people serving in Congress, people who are in public service all over this country, and people who are our neighbors and our colleagues, he's talking about these people that like they're some something else. They're just Americans like the rest of us.
Well, you know, we all agree, I think, in this room that what we heard was terrible. But there's something that I saw that I know you guys saw too, and Joe referred to, which is the incredible supportive background noise from the audience that was there, and that made my skin shiver, because that reminded me, frankly, of Nuremberg. It reminded me of the original Nuremberg. It reminded me of Hitler.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and the adoring support that he got there. Now, look, France, we know, look, we're not alone here. France, Le Pen, just won a tremendous victory. It looks like they're going to be the government. And her position is keep them all out. So this is not unusual. When you are appealed to people's basic, horrible fears, and that's what it's all about,
fear.
They're going to respond, or many of them are going to respond this way. Not everybody had a liberal arts education.
But even if you take it to the next step, even if you take it to the next, and I know this is a word that probably doesn't fit in here, but the next logical step, which is that there were many questions being asked of Donald Trump this morning. He appeared on Morning Joe. That there were questions like, one, when someone comes to the border, their religion is not on their passport. What do you do? And he said, do you ask them, are you a Muslim? And he said, yes, that's what you'll do. You'll ask them if they're a Muslim. And if they say yes, you don't allow them in. And then they said, and if they say no, how do you know? We would have to put them through a test.
Jeez.
Now, what is that? Like, how does that work? And what I'm wondering is even for the people who were in that room cheering last night, isn't there a next step where you say to yourself, yeah, but how do you operationalize that? Oh, no, oh, by the way, it's also unconstitutional.
It will be easy. They're just going to have yellow crescents sewed onto their clothing.
My
They'll be able to tell the Muslims right away.
I was going to say exactly the same thing. We certainly know how this was done.
Right. There's a model for this,
unfortunately.
Well, I mean, so are we in agreement in this room, at least, that this won't happen?
This won't happen. This will not happen. It will. I mean, for the good reason that it is a violation, a blatant, outright violation of the Constitution, it could never happen. It violates what this country was founded upon.
Michael, every one of us who has read the history, prehistory of World War II and Nazi Germany, knows that people were sitting around, and a lot of people who played with their lives, saying just what you just said.
Right. It could never happen.
It couldn't happen.
Never again.
So, does he go up in the polls?
Yes, he goes up in the polls.
There haven't been any overnight polls on this yet.
No, he's going up in the polls. See, one of the things that apparently led to this was that he went down in the Iowa poll.
He disputes that, but that certainly seems to be the case.
Yeah, that he went down in the Iowa poll, and he's got a long road to go before all of this is over.
He's still in. I mean, I didn't think he'd get this far.
Right, but his numbers are kind of the same, and as others drop out, their numbers will add up to more than he's not picking up the votes from the people who drop out, even though there's not a lot of votes for some of the people at the lower end.
Doesn't that sort of give you only mild reassurance? There is a sizable number of what the Republican Party now who not just approves of this, but is applauding and yelling wildly.
What is so interesting here, if you think about it, is not only that the Democrats and Hillary and everybody else are saying this is un-American, but so are his colleagues. So are the people who are running against them.
Most of them.
Most of them. The one
Ted Cruz we're worried about.
He was kind of waffling a little bit.
The question I have for all of you, and especially for Alan, is that isn't it incumbent upon, because so far Paul Ryan and the Republicans in leadership positions have dodged this. They have moved away from Trump. Isn't it incumbent upon them to say, this is outrageous and we can't support such?
Yes.
Look, it is not incumbent on them. I'd like to think it was incumbent on them because it was the right thing, but I don't think it has anything to do with the right thing. Anything to do with deposing the king.
But to Rosemary's point, yes. But could there be another king? I mean, to the point of you still have 14 other people there who could take that.
Yeah.
That to Rosemary's point of if we have reached a new low in the low of lows.
Right.
That is this the thing that finally says that the Republican leadership says, enough.
I bring you back to, well, first of all, the Republican leadership has been saying enough already. Mm-hmm. They don't want this guy.
Well, not publicly, and they certainly haven't announced him.
What has Reince Priebus said about this latest statement? I don't think he's spoken.
Well, the memos have all been coming out. They've been leaking as that.
I know, but sure they would.
They don't want Trump. They don't want him. He's not part of the Republican establishment, and they don't want him.
So what's wrong with saying this is absolutely ridiculous, and this is an abomination to the country and to the Constitution, and we as a party denounce it?
Well, some people do. But again, I want to bring you back, as I have said day after day, to that primary when the guys who were supposed to be, you know, doing the right thing here don't do it. And what they do is they say, okay, Let's I got to run in a primary, and I don't want to be the guy out there who takes this on, because my constituency, this 15%, this right group, are going to say, you know, we don't want those Muslims in this country. That's what they're saying.
Mm-hmm. I'm concerned the UN today has announced that the rhetoric has become so troubling in the presidential campaign, right, that its refugee resettlement program is endangered in this country, which, of course, Trump would be happy about.
That's exactly what he wants.
That's completely disgraceful.
Who is the – there's also this issue here where you have him saying this and – there doesn't seem to be a way to bring it into check in sense of the facts don't matter. The fact that it's unconstitutional doesn't matter.
It didn't matter to Hitler either.
Yeah.
This is very, very troublesome, not only because the guy's doing it, but because people are eating it. That's what's the problem.
Well, he's playing, as you said before, the applicable word here is fear. He's playing to people's fears, and they want to feel safe. You know, I never thought I'd ever say this, but I will. I agree with Dick Cheney. Did you see his statement?
What did Dick Cheney say?
No, it was a profoundly correct response to Trump. I mean, it said that,
what was it?
You know, it talked about the Constitution. It talked about America. It completely rejected what Trump had said about
wow.
it.
Cheney did the right thing.
It goes against everything we stand for.
Wow,
is what he said.
Wow. Well, this is the same Cheney who bothered so many of us on so many levels when he was there. So one has to imagine he has political motives also.
Yeah, it's like Stalin saying Hitler was right. You know, Hitler was wrong. I mean, like Stalin criticizing him. Wow, that's kind of
Hitler, Stalin.
Yeah, Hitler,
Trump,
Stalin,
Cheney.
Trump, and
yeah,
Cheney.
I don't
know. I don't think Trump is going to win. I mean, even if he gets the nomination, I don't think he would win. But look what he's stirred up, and this doesn't just go away when Trump's candidacy, whatever it is, fades.
It is important to remember that he is dealing with a primary voter in the Republican Party.
Correct.
And that is the most conservative of conservative, and it is probably not representative of even the general Republican Party, and I hope to say that it is not representative of every American.
But he's made it almost right, almost triumphant to have a rally and voice these things.
Unlike you guys, I think he could win. I think he could win a general election. I do.
General election?
Yes. I think if he gets the nomination, he could win a general election.
Against whom?
Against Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you look at the polls right now, they're very close.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of us made the mistake, as has happened in past history, of saying in the beginning, I certainly was one of them, this guy's a buffoon. He can't win.
Okay. I want to bring up two questions.
Right.
And in 3 minutes, I have two questions. One is the – and I didn't want to go here, but I'm going to go here anyway – it is buffoon. Is he stupid, or is he the most brilliant politician we've ever seen?
I think it's two and then one. In other words, I think he is brilliant in an evil sort of way, which makes him a buffoon. Think about it. I mean, it's not that he's stupid. He is doing something.
Well,
Michael just said playing to fear. He knows it's going to work, and it is working.
To winning the general election,
yes.
I read an article in the Chicago Tribune last night about Republican donors, a large group of Republican donors meeting in Arizona and saying that and some of the reports from this have been a little sketchy, but that if Trump were the nominee and you want to give your money to Curry influence, who would you give your money to in the campaign? Well, and they said Hillary.
Hillary?
Yes, yeah, because they felt that was the better chance. And I just throw that out.
She can be bought. He can't be. Is that what they're saying?
Oh, my gosh.
Think of the implications of that. I think that's one of Donald Trump's appeal. He can't be bought.
He keeps pushing the money away because he can't be bought.
And the other appeal is no PC. I don't believe in PC.
Right, right.
I think the appeal is that he offers very simple, thoughtless answers. We'll bomb the S blank, blank, blank out of them. That's a lot better than the president of the United States, who probably is the right after.
Does he not know that carpet bombing is a violation of international law? It's a war crime.
I think it's just a nice, simple, if you're afraid and the world seems like it's coming apart, which it does, you put your trust into someone who says, we'll just bomb the hell out of them. We're going to be great again.
Make the sand glow, I think he said.
That was actually Ted Cruz.
He's not the only.
That's right.
You're getting the demagogues mixed up.
I'm going to take a break. We're going to get some letters. We have a lot of letters, and then I also want to go on because there's many facets to the story, and I'd like to explore a few more. We'll be back right after this. Alan is here. Rosemary, Mike. I'm Joe Donahue. We'll be back after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok is here, Rosemary Armeo, Mike Spain, and we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Let's get to some letters, and then we'll finish up on this topic before we move on to other things.
Our pal Ken says, from New York Times Fact Check, Reed Trump states he's self-funding. In closing remark, Donald J. Trump told voters he is self-funding his campaign. And while that is true, he has given plenty of money to support his run, particularly early on. His most recent campaign finance filing shows he had $3 million in what he termed unsolicited contributions. In that period, Mr. Trump himself put up about $100,000 in in-kind contributions. All right. And Cody says, does the panel think Obama's call for Muslim leaders specifically to denounce the attack in San Bernardino is appropriate and or justified, since the attacks were committed in the name of Islam, albeit a particular interpretation? Is it incumbent upon Muslim leaders to speak out? I don't think it would hurt.
I think they have. They've condemned what happened in San Bernardino quite emphatically.
Okay. Joel from Port Jervis says the party of Lincoln is turning into the party of Mussolini. I don't know about this one. Helen says Hillary would win the biggest landslide in U.S. history if she would run against Trump. And that's from Greg, not Helen.
Although the polls, you say, are not supporting that, Alan.
No, they're very close. Polls are very close.
I mean, they have her winning, but they don't have her winning
3 points
by much. Yeah.
Within the margin of error? Mm. Okay, so, and it's very early.
She has high negatives.
James says, you know, when Dick Cheney is stirred from his secret bunker to try to inject a drop of morality into public discourse, things have gone off the reservation. A man who literally supports torture and shot someone in the face.
Well put. I can't disagree. That's all factual.
That was a mistake. Don't think it will make a difference to the conservative base, but it's an interesting change. As I say, it all goes to motive. What's his motive in doing it? Is it because it's right, or because he wants to get Bush in there, or whatever?
Right.
Who knows? Yeah. Okay. Brucey says a national required viewing of Cabaret may be in order. And let's see,
Cabaret?
Who's this? No, I'm not reading that one. Nasty.
The Nazi.
Okay.
Germany.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Doug says, I can't believe that Rosemary Armeo actually said that the call to jihad by ISIS happens because of inflammatory fascist statements by Donald Trump. Have you read anything about ISIS?
Yes, I've read a lot, and that's not what I said. Certainly. I said that those kind of comments make it much easier for ISIS to recruit. They go, they hate us, they're after us, join us, and we'll set the record straight. That's what I said.
Okay, and Emily—
echoed, by the way, by the UN this morning.
Yeah.
So,
and Emily says Trump
pretty
says
safe on that.
Yes.
Sorry.
No. Quite frequently, we hear from people who say
don't know what they're listening to.
Yeah, well, who say we said something. Yeah, last night, I got woken up by a guy who's complaining about WAMC. Then after a while, he started to tell me, "But and you're always interrupting my classical music."
Different station. Right. Never mind.
That was like the one I shared with you yesterday about the guy, person that was all upset about the interview that they watched.
That they watched.
All right.
They watched. In other words, it was television, public television. Right. Okay. Good morning, panel. Trump says we should not allow Muslims to enter the U.S. until our representatives know what the hell is going on. Well, I think it may be obvious what's going on. Decades of Western imperialism in the Mideast, for one thing. Okay. It's a little too long, so I'll just stop it there. And, okay. All right. David says... read Sinclair Lewis's "It Can't Happen Here," and Susan says,
"That's
good." And Susan says, "Dear Roundtable, Trump claims he has spent very little on his campaign. He doesn't have to. He is the media darling. Last night, MSNBC showed his entire South Carolina speech. He's in front of the cameras and microphones nearly every minute of every day. He's able to spew his lies and hate speech in front of the national media cameras is beyond nauseating. This is complicity in stirring up the worst of people's nativism, racism, hate, and fear."
Boy, I understand the point, but I got to tell you, I was driving home. I heard that he was going to be speaking, and I searched till I could find the one place that I saw it.
Yeah.
I mean, I wanted to see it. I don't know. I understand the point.
That's become a complaint of some of the other Republicans in the race, that Trump, everybody pays attention to Trump, what Trump says, and they don't pay attention to what any of the other candidates, right?
And the precious airtime, quote unquote, is being dominated by Trump and not the others' views.
Well, he's saying all this stuff that's making news.
Well, I mean, he is making world headlines.
So John says that's what happens. "I'm not sure that significant segments of our body politic know why Trump's rhetoric is so dangerous and damaging. The more the so-called liberal media gets up in arms over Trump's comments, the less likely it becomes for the same segment to embrace the notion that we're entering dangerous political territory. History can repeat itself. This is how it happens." And Leslie says, "Trump has been leading up to this for weeks. So he finally crosses a bridge too far and his peers are ready to reject him. They should have done this weeks ago." I think they've tried to reject him weeks ago, and it just hasn't landed. "They should have done this weeks ago. Bush was willing to have a religious test for Syrian refugees. This is the heart of the Republican Party." Let's see. Steven says, "Is there any truth to an alleged New York Times report that Trump's German-born father Fred was a supporter?" I'm not going to read that because I don't think.
Well, there was a man named Fred Trump was among those arrested in 1927 in a brawl between KK members and the police at a Memorial Day parade in New York City. This report's been around forever. The New York Times has reported on it, and there's never been a clear link that the guy arrested was Trump's father, although it's never been debunked either. Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. And you tell me when that's enough, Joe. Tony says, "What is it about the right of religious freedom that makes it so much less valuable than the right of one to keep and bear arms in a well-regulated militia?" Says Tony.
Excellent point, Tony.
Max, I don't know what Max says. He's different. Okay. Ken says, "I don't believe that Trump has any idea as to the firestorm he's feeding by being so outrageous and inflammatory."
That's my worry. I think you're right.
He has drawn attention away from some of the other Bible-thumping Republican candidates. "Last time I looked, our Constitution calls for a clear separation between church and state." Okay, Michael says, "Germany did the same to the Jewish people, but they were innocent, so are a majority of Muslims." I think it's much more than a majority, by the way, innocence.
1.5 billion.
"But their founder was a militant conqueror, and a minority of the faithful adhered to the violent memes, M-E-M-S?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, memes. Okay, that Mohammed created, unlike the Jewish people. Hey, guys, what's crazier, refusing entry into America to all Muslims or monitoring all the world's communications to ferret out terrorism? My answer, both are equally unconstitutional and neither has or nor will work."
I don't want to pick either one of them.
What's door number three there?
Dear Roundtable, there is a segment of our population that we've always known is there, and like Nazis who march in Skokie, Illinois, we get to see them in the light of day, and that's from Paul from Ackard. And Josh.
A lot of comments.
Oh, boy. You have no idea. Josh says, after Trump's comments on Muslims, I'm questioning whether he truly wants the nomination, is looking to gain as much attention as possible and self-implode. Ladies and gentlemen, I think he wants the nomination. I think he wants to be president. And I think he has a decent chance of being president.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know about the decent chance, but I do agree with that he's in this to win it and looking at what it takes.
I think he's loving this. He's all
absolutely
puffed up and,
no. He is not a guy who's trying to get out of this. He's very. Also, I don't know.
Just say it, Joe.
Remember the old days back a couple months ago when we first started the debate when he was just degrading women. Remember that?
Just irritating,
yeah.
The gender.
Well, last night he went after a NBC News reporter during the South Carolina rally. The NBC correspondent, the Trump correspondent for NBC, Katie Turr, and referred to her as Little Katie, our third-rate journalist. Why don't you say hi, Katie? Why don't you say hi to the crowd, Katie? And then everybody started to boo the woman who was on the platform behind. And then referred to her as absolute scum.
Jeez.
In public. In, the
in
audience,
public. Yeah. And then allowed the audience to boo. And then she's got to obviously leave that room.
Yep.
So.
Well, I mean, his comments on John McCain, I thought, would wipe him out. And on Mexicans. And it's like they seem kind of tame now. He's moved into an entire – I mean, we're close to genocide now.
We're not there yet. You know, he's got a long way to go before he gets to, you know, putting all the
actually killing them. Muslims
he just
wants to keep
US.
Them out and
yeah,
pen
he just
them.
Wants to keep them out. Or maybe maybe camps will be next. Encampments, that'll be the next thing.
But boy, horrible. If you read Mein Kampf and you look at what happened with Hitler, there are some real similarities.
I know.
Here.
I was always baffled, you know, reading history, trying to understand how Hitler could rise to power. But you're seeing glimpses of how somebody can stir up hatred and use it for political purposes. And it's scary.
Right.
The other thing that's scary is that and this is anecdotal and it's a microcosm. But what was scary is listening to Donald Trump was on Morning Joe this morning for 35 minutes. And at the end of that, they were going after him in all the ways they should have been going after him, asking all the questions that they should have been asking him. But at the end, they were like, well, you know, this is what the people want. This is what this is why he's and there was an acceptance of it. And I thought, wow, that's scary.
Yep.
Yes,
to me, that's scary.
That is very scary. You are exactly right. Because, again, the historical antecedents kick into play. Mm. Where were the people who were saying no?
Well, that's a good question. We're here, for example. What should we be doing? And they're all over Facebook.
It
you
depends.
Know,
it
there
depends.
Are people asking this question. Those of us who don't want the rise of a regime like this, what do we do?
Well, boy, I'm not going here. But maybe I am, just sort of hint at it. There are people who say that when the rise of Hitler happened, there were extra things that should have been done to eliminate Hitler. I'm not calling for eliminating Donald Trump. Believe me, I don't think that's what
we're talking about wiping him out.
That's not what we do here. I'm just saying, listen.
I can't endorse murder, even though
Did I, just say that? I did not. I just simply say, if you look at the historical precedent of what Hitler led to and all those millions and millions and millions of people being killed, there are people and historians and legitimate people who are saying when it gets to be so bad. Now, let's just get this straight. Alan Chartok did not call for eliminating Donald Trump. I did not, and I will not. But I'm telling you that when you say, your question, Rosemary, is what are we supposed to do?
Let me just turn the question slightly, because it's a question that we had in the Donahue household last night, my wife and I, as we were watching this unfold, which was, and I said, how safe is when Trump was going in full bore against President Obama? And I said, what does this mean for the safety of our president in talking that he's horrible, he's the worst leader, right. He may be one of them, you know, and that what does that mean for his safety? And it was Kelly who said, what does this mean for Donald Trump's safety?
Yeah. And Huey Long, let me call up that specter.
Yeah.
He did not come to a good end, and he also unleashed the Pandora's box of fear and hatred.
Well, he's certainly pushing buttons, and there might be some unstable person out there who decides to be a vigilante for whatever cause. But, you know, that every politician that is controversial faces that. I don't know, other than to – you would hope that he would face the openness of our free society, and he would be exposed for what he is, and that people would see what it is and reject it. And I think that is what's happening. There are, you know, as much as there's a crowd of people in South Carolina cheering for Donald, there's an awful lot of people today who are pinching their nose because of what he has said.
Mm-hmm. Broderick Crawford, Highway Patrol.
Denver.
Huey Long.
Let's take a break. We'll be back. We'll continue. We'll get to some other topics as well. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Support comes from Saratoga Jewish Community Arts, presenting the film Above and Beyond, American Pilots Turning the Tide of the Israeli War of Independence. Discussion to follow December 20th, 7 p.m. at Temple Sinai, 518-584-8730. Ye Olde Warwick Bookshop, Warwick, New York, a Hudson Valley bookseller specializing in new and vintage books and holiday gift ideas, with a second shop on Windmere Avenue in the heart of Greenwood Lake. yeoldwarwickbookshop.com. Krishan Bakery, 197 Lark Street, Albany, New York, featuring custom sculpted cakes, sugar art, and desserts for weddings, birthdays, corporate events, and holidays. KrishanBakery.com. And the Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, providing exhibits, public events, and educational programs for audiences in the Capital District and beyond. Skidmore.edu/Tang.
The couple who carried out the deadly attack that killed 14 people in San Bernardino, California last week had long been radicalized and had been practicing at a target range days before their murder spree, that according to the FBI on Monday. The characterization of the husband and wife team came as FBI investigators were leaning away from the theory that Ms. Malik, who declared allegiance to the Islamic State on Facebook around the time of the attack, had led her American-born husband to the violence. As the investigation has progressed, we have learned and believe that both subjects were radicalized and have been for quite some time. We have Rosemary's mic out, I believe.
Ooh, my mic is
good.
Out?
You're good.
I'm okay?
Yep.
I'm happy to hear that the blame is now being shared. I have, on top of vilifying Muslims, we're also vilifying women in this. It was like this poor American-born lad was led astray by the Saudi Arabian hussy who exposed him to radical Islam. Hussy, yes.
Yeah, I never heard
and
those
that's ridiculous.
Words
I mean, they were bad guys together, and I don't like that we're hating all Muslims, but we especially hate the women. What is that?
I don't know if I was getting that from it. I mean, you know, perhaps it was her that got him radicalized, but the two of them had been.
He went to Saudi Arabia. To me, he sought her out online.
Sure. You know, more will come out about this. The most stunning fact that I read yesterday was that his coworkers, who he turned the guns on,
right,
had given them a baby shower a few
yeah,
months ago.
They couldn't believe it was. But, you know, we don't want to believe that someone raised in America and had all the privileges could turn. But, you know, it happened.
Could turn and leave a six-month-old.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Alone.
I mean, it happened in Boston, too, the marathon.
I think there was a guy named Timothy McVeigh from Buffalo.
I remember him.
Yeah. Too. I mean, you know, there are people who become radicalized and do awful, awful things. It's unfortunate.
By the way, and I'm sorry to go back to Trump, but my mind is still spinning. But he also called last night to call up Bill Gates to shut down the internet for a while.
Oh my gosh!
As if Bill Gates could.
I just.
Well, he might be able to. Actually,
that's true. Actually, I take that back.
He could.
We're
actually
losing a lot of people because of the internet, he said, and we have to see what Bill Gates can do. That was the comment
oh,
that he
gosh.
Made last night.
Okay. Oh, wow.
So not only are we telling a billion people, a quarter of the population of the world, that they can't enter the United States, but we're also using a major communications tool that we have now, and to shut that down.
Well, yeah, but we're going to still sell guns because of the Second Amendment. Just forget about the First Amendment.
They are protected by the 18th. Constitution.
By the second one, they got it right, Rosemary. See, the first one's still a little, yeah.
Well, he's attacked the First Amendment and the 18th, right? He didn't want natural citizenship on birth. He wants to do away with that one, too. So I love the way he's picking and choosing the parts of the Constitution he likes.
Well, cherry picking.
He paints with a broad brush. And the broad brush is, I will not be held responsible for anything I say. Right? So if I say shut down the internet, sounds reasonable to a lot of people. Or if I say...
Just look at the polls. Right?
Well, that's exactly what he said. He said we have to talk about them.
Everything. Well, go ahead.
Closing up the internet in some ways, we have to talk about it. We have to do something. And everybody's going to say, oh, freedom of speech. These are foolish people who say that.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Yes, but he's appealing to fear again. And if somebody said to you, if there was a way to filter out the communications that terrorists have among themselves on the internet by some, you know, crazy algorithm. Filter program, an algorithm or something. Yeah. We'd say, well, that'd be good. You know, we'd all want to see terrorism not be able to be coordinated on the internet. And so that's a reasonable feeling that people have. It's not technically achievable, probably, unless you shut down the internet. So he's appealing to people.
So what are you going to shut down? You're going to shut down Facebook? You're going to shut down...
Oh, I'm not agreeing with any of this.
Email?
Right.
Yeah, well, you know, you can shut down. Egypt and China have both had success just shutting down the servers. You can do it, actually.
Yes. Well, I know you can.
And the next logical step, Joe, is...
Again, freedom of speech, but go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, the next logical step is what Jeb Bush is advocating for. You know, give the NSA more control to go back in and start listening. Let's just give up those protections and privacy protections.
That was just such a great plan.
Yeah. And just we just stopped, you know, finally halted the collection of metadata by the NSA, and now there's a clamor to begin it again.
They want to open it again because they might have found the San Bernardino suspects they been able to. That's the whole line now, that the FBI can't really track what happened to them because those records just were shut down.
I keep wondering about something, Joe, and you guys said before, which was, you know, the Korematsu, the terrible... imprisonment, because that's what it was, of Japanese citizens in this country, and how everybody has admitted in retrospect that it was wrong.
Right.
But the problem is, that's easy. In other words, you do it, and then you say later on, we shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, that's true. And he also he's trying to draw a line between what of banning people from the country versus imprisonment. Mm-hmm. We're not imprisoning people; we're just banning them.
Yeah, that's like
And who is he banning? Is he banning the relatives of residents? U.S. citizens? Is he banning Muslims who go across?
He did say
the
this
pond
morning
who
that
want
he,
to come back to the U.S.
He did say this morning that he would let in athletes if it was good for us.
Oh,
that's good. That's great.
Exactly.
Oh,
give them what they want to hear. It's that simple.
Oh, dear.
It doesn't matter.
How about
right
singers and performers? How about artists? How about...
No, if I was teaching college to this day, and you know, some days I miss it, I'd love to give a course. Maybe you should do that joke.
I'm saying,
call Trump.
You come on,
Trump 101.
Well, I mean, rhetoric is a fascinating area to study.
What I don't know about in your classes, Rosemary, but I mean, we've spent a lot of time on Donald Trump, and the students are horrified.
Yeah, I would second that.
Yeah, I mean,
and they do really believe that we're on the verge of another world war.
Yeah,
they're very concerned,
and they're afraid.
Sure.
And I don't know that I have anything to help in.
Michael, who I don't always agree with, writes a very short one. He says, if he is elected, there will be a mass exodus of Muslims from this country. That's correct. You think of all the Jews who had the foresight to get out as opposed to those who didn't. And if you had a guy with this kind of dangerous rhetoric, one and one makes two.
As long as they take me with them.
Yeah, it won't be just Muslims.
Canada's going to be very crowded.
Well... With Justin Trudeau up there, it's looking very inviting.
Yeah,
it's getting better and better, isn't it?
It's cold.
It's cold. It is cold. I want to thank you for joining us this morning. sorry to be such a downer. Mike Spain, Rosemary Arameo, and Alan Chartok, thank you very much. We'll see you all tomorrow. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.